Now, I did explain to PJ that by old school rap, he means things from the aughts. So not LL Cool J. But Alex Andrade, who does like what he calls old school rap, what I would call modern rap. But whatever, that's fine. No big deal. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Our state representative for District 2 in his final term.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. How's it going?
Very, very good. All right, so things that have been going on in the House this week. You guys are, you know, home today. You're not meeting. At least the House is not meeting. I don't think either the Senate or the House meeting, but you correct me if I'm wrong. You have two bills that you've been working on this week. One is the ethics bill. What is that one about?
It's partially in response to what we uncovered related to, you know, James Uzmaier's theft of $10 million from our Medicaid program. It spells out that, like, hey, if you're negotiating on behalf of the state some type of a settlement, a legal settlement, one, you got to tell the legislature that you did it and share the terms with us of the settlement. And two, you can't steer any portion of money offered to the state to a third party. I think it's common sense. I wouldn't say it would necessarily have stopped what happened, right? Because we already have fraud statutes on the book, and James had no problem, you know, committing fraud in my, you know, estimation, but at least it would spell out for someone potentially on the state side who had to participate in it. They can point to that now and say, hey, listen, like, this really is wrong. You know, so maybe it would help someone have some type of a conscience in that kind of circumstance in the future. And then the other one is
can we pause there for just a second? Because I know I talked about it a little bit, but I don't want to let it go completely unnoticed that somebody in the governor's office has kind of adapted to the press on this whole issue, which we're still waiting for any charges to come out of the grand jury, right? That's still an open question on the Medicare.
Grand jury will come out when it comes out.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the new health care, what is it, the budget? You tell me. I forget the details here, but specifically omits the references to Hope Florida Foundation, that they're not a part of the language. Whether that changes the actual practice or not is unclear, but am I right that that's kind of been sanitized a little bit this year?
Yeah, they've gone through and they've scrubbed everything related to Hope Florida in their contracts with our Medicaid companies. And now the First Lady's new initiative is testing food and telling people if it's toxic. So she has a new initiative and Hope Florida's kind of taken a back seat.
I just wanted to make sure we got that out because, you know, again, I think all of this is kind of relevant that despite saying there's nothing to see here, there's been an awful lot of smoke and you would say there's actually been fire. I would say there's actually been fire. We'll wait to see whether the grand jury thinks there's actually been fire. But when you change all the contracts to avoid those references, it's sort of an admission that maybe there was something not right about it. The other thing you were saying, the kind of a very interesting bill for anybody who's a boater or owns a waterfront property because of the derelict vessel problem. You've been working on that, right?
Yeah, one of the biggest issues that people have with removing or regulating derelict vessels is the amount of time it takes to actually, you know, paper a file before FWC, you know, Florida's Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, can come out and remove a derelict vessel. So the idea is simply if a local government wants to, they can pass an ordinance and their code enforcement officers can go out and do all the non-criminal paperwork process of like citations and documenting how many citations, you know, how long this person's been in a certain spot, this vessel's been in a certain spot, so that all they need FWC to do is help with the removal of the vessel at the very end. So it'll hopefully, in theory, speed up the paperwork process so these derelict vessels, folks can do something about them in a much faster process. And it was actually an idea that was born out of Escambia County. So
yeah.
I was happy to pass that bill.
It's amazing. It's amazing how long that process takes. I mean, it's ridiculous how long boats sit there unattended, being a nuisance, possibly sinking, becoming a hazard. I mean, all of it, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, due process is messy. People, like, the frustration, like, with the grand jury is the same thing. I'm just like, yeah, due process, you know, is inconvenient.
You know? No, that's true. That's a fair reminder. I appreciate the lawyer's perspective on that, yeah.
And then due process is inconvenient, but you don't want to, you know, necessarily take someone's rights away. I think it was Thomas Jefferson or Ben Franklin said, like, better than, like, you know, one guilty man go free, better than 10 guilty men go free than one innocent man rot in jail or something like that. I mean, that's right. The concept, right? It's it's, no, you don't want to go too fast and take an innocent person's rights away.
Right, right. Which is, I think we're sort of having this conversation around things like the Flock license plate readers and red light cameras and speed zone cameras and the camera society. And, you know, even though police are able to be out and observing anything, that's very different on scale than having cameras everywhere, which would seem like at least a discouragement to use your civil liberties. And, you know, there's all kinds of things you can do to more effectively thwart crime. I mean, you can just get rid of the need to have a warrant. You know, it's that stupid due process and, you know, that gets in the way all the time, yeah. Right?
Yeah. And so like with a vessel, obviously it's not always easy. No one's parked there, just staring at a boat all day.
Right.
So. This will help fast track it though, and maintain that protection on due process. So I think it's a good idea.
Oh, I do have a quick note here. I don't think that we've been reporting this yet, but apparently Don Lemon was arrested, taken into custody last night. This has to do with, I guess, his participation in the church service protest invasion in Minnesota earlier this month. Federal agents last night, according to CNN, so you would think they would know, Los Angeles, where he was covering the Grammy Awards. So, you know, we'll see how this all plays out, but a very interesting piece of news, let's put it that way. Back to Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. The big question everybody has about this session primarily is about property taxes. As I understand it, there are three proposals that have advanced in the House out of the several that have been proposed, but we still don't have anything from the Senate or from the governor about what they intend to do, right?
Yeah, it's wild that the governor's making such a big deal out of this, but refuses to propose a plan. And I think the governor can't propose a plan because he'd have to admit that he doesn't have a plan to offset the, you know, over $10 billion in school property taxes that are collected by these ad valorem taxes. He never contemplated how we'd backfill our school districts. And I think that's a big reason why he's never released his own actual proposal of ballot language to go on the ballot. And it's just like one illustration of the fact that I think that this was all smoke and mirrors from the governor from the beginning, making a lot of promises he could not keep and hadn't thought out. And it's somewhat frustrating as a legislator. I mean, we're going to put something on the ballot. I'm very confident we will. I don't see it passing just because DeSantis hasn't put out a plan of his own yet, so he can whine and complain that something's wrong with whatever we put on the ballot, and you're not going to get 60% of the vote when you got the governor whining about it, and a lot of people saying, wait, has this been properly thought out? And I can't say in good conscience right now that it has been properly thought out. The only people thinking about it are the members of the Florida House who are weighing actual language and bills.
In the conversations around this, what's been so stunning to me is the bills differ. You know, some of the bills will only exempt the non-school board slice of the ad valorem tax. Other ones seem to target the whole thing, whether we phase it out over 10 years or phase it out immediately or, you know, allow a slower creep on the assessed value, 3% over 3 years instead of each year or 10%, 15%, or 10%, depending on the, for the non-homesteaded property, all of these things. The one thing that's been stunning to me is that none of these proposals carry with them, as you say, the natural companion of, and how will we replace that revenue? Now, I know that, you know, we've got the CFO has been saying, well, there's all this waste, and which I'm thinking, yeah, you haven't released a report, right? There's no report yet released on that, right? I'm not wrong about that. They haven't actually released the report to justify the claim of all the waste, right?
There was a separate DOGE report that we required be produced via legislation. So it was due and it was finally published. I think it's about 200 pages, but it doesn't look like it highlights any fraud, right?
Okay.
You know, local governments have grown. They've largely grown due to inflation or additional staffing. You know, you can nitpick and you can go in, and I am sure that every local government could trim some fat. How much fat is still up in the air because we don't have an in-depth study. We don't have a report. Oh, and by the way, the Florida legislature, we funded $1 million study in our last budget, and DeSantis vetoed it. He refused to even let us do a study that was in-depth and comprehensive. This is like the worst type of political theater to me, and getting more and more frustrated. I philosophically oppose the concept of property taxes.
Same.
I would like nothing more than to do away with property taxes. Give us a plan. Think it through. Stop faking it. Like, do something. Get off your rear end and do something about it, Governor. Like, you're just whining at press conferences.
Yeah, the same. I mean, my whole life I have hated property taxes. I do not believe there's a philosophical justification for you having to continually pay off the government to keep them from selling your home to somebody else. I hate the idea, but I'm in the same boat. I know our local government, if you forced them, they could find another couple of percent probably to cut costs. There's no chance they can find $70 million in the Escambia budget, the property tax slate. There's just no chance. There's no way they can find that level of money to just plain trim fat. That would be a cost in services, and that's the real question. Last thing, obviously, you know that Manny Diaz was confirmed as the president, is now the president of the University of West Florida, the 7th, and confirmed with a vote of only one dissent from the Senate faculty representative from FAU. But thoughts about Manny as the president of UWF in your district? I guess UW is actually Michelle's district, but still, it's your area, right?
Yeah. No, I know Manny Diaz. I think he has a great vision. I think he's a great leader. I think he's got the right perspective to help grow and develop the university. You know, I think obviously there's been a lot of frustration and complaints about the process with how he got here. But I think a big job, a big role for a university president is their relationship in Tallahassee and the legislature with the Board of Governors. And I think he has all of those skills to bring significant resources and to develop a really great brand for UWF and take it to another level. One of the frustrating parts for UWF for a long time has been the lack of attention and care it's received in Tallahassee. And yeah. I think that bringing Manny in is a great way to try and address that, like, step of like one area where you could say there was room for improvement. So I'm excited for Manny. I'm hopeful for his success, and I'm rooting for him.
You're a parliamentarian. You were a city attorney. You are obviously a very capable attorney and a legislator. And I just don't know the answer to this. It's my opinion that Rebecca Matthews, the chair of the Board of Trustees at UWF, lied to the Board of Governors yesterday, very specifically misled them, at the very least used very careful language in order to create a false impression with them. They don't swear in for this. Is there any actual teeth to having done something like that unless the Board of Governors decides to reprimand her or remove her? Like, there's no real consequence because it's an open, it's testimony and you don't have to swear in, right? It's not perjury.
Well, there's a technical answer and there's a real answer. The technical answer is in my committee, I only swear in people who are not employees of the state. I don't swear in people who are employees of the state because they work for the state and they're expected to act as if they're under oath. Mm, okay. It would be impossible to charge. I don't know the context, Andrew. I was getting my girls up today, so I haven't been listening to the show. I think you mentioned something about she stated there's been no public backlash or public issues.
Specifically, she was asked why she ignored the questions raised about the process in the January meeting where they voted for him. And she very carefully said, well, there were no questions raised, which is, in my interpretation, incredibly false because you specifically had the representative from the Senate faculty at length raise objection to the process, which has been a known problem throughout that the process has been a problem. So I think if you parse the words like Bill Clinton did, she might not have technically lied, but she certainly misled by her answer, is my take.
Well, I mean, yeah, and it's you gotta account for perspective, and so you gotta show a ton of grace on that type of aspect, just like her perspective, what she experienced, what she recalls. Maybe she was telling the truth from her perspective. So I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, if there's a technical answer, if you lie in a committee, like a legislative committee, and you're a state employee, well, you can face, you know, termination. You know, I think you might be able to face some type of perjury prosecution, but like I've never seen it happen ever, and I don't think it ever would. But you know, at the same time, maybe we should have lie detectors on microphones. I don't know.
I've joked about this before that I think you and I have even talked about this before that there is a part of me that would love to have to swear people in and, you know, before they do open public forum and public comment. And by the way, the legislators, city council and county commissioners as well, because, you know, I mean, it would dramatically change if they obeyed it. It would dramatically change things. Alex Andrade, he's our state representative for District 2. As always, Alex, thank you for the time during session. I really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Andrew.